This show is sponsored by the Crummy Cookie Dough Company, top-notch humans making top-notch edible cookie dough.
Injury, but don't get happy, you're in jail for a century. Just as bad as being shot in the groin. To see who'll shoot you, they'll flip a coin and watch it run for the stretch. But you don't know the man is at home waiting to make the catch.
How's it going, guys? Something happened there. I didn't know what. Anyways, I'm back in my closet, locked up. I'm only allowed to come out once the show's over. So I don't know. It has to be a good show too. And if it's not a good show, then I leave. Anyways, what was just playing was Main Source, and we'll talk about them in a bit because we have one of the members here. I interviewed him. His name is DJ Romeo. Very nice guy. And very interesting conversation. Trust me. You won't want to miss that. So yes, take a seat. The interview will be coming up soon. I gotta figure some technology stuff out. It's just me, myself, and I, always. However, doing it at home is kind of a little finicky, so I apologize for that silence. At least you heard some music in the background. Welcome you in. You just didn't have someone greeting you. So here I am. I'm greeting you with open arms. So first, before we get to the interview, I'm just going to throw it to a little song. You might know this song. You hear it in the background right now. I want to thank Crummy Cookie Company for supporting my show. I'll be talking about them later on. Bunch of two awesome women. They make awesome cookies. You can eat raw with ingredients you trust. But we'll get to that later. We'll get to the interview after this. Here's Tear You Apart, She Wants Revenge.
Her best friend, it's no thing, maybe a slip, but the slip turns to terror and a crime. fucking tear you apart.
That was She Wants Revenge, Tear You Apart. Sounds like She Wants Revenge. Whatever happened to that band? I don't know. I think that was a one-hit wonder for them. I never heard of them after that. I don't know. Good song, though. Without further ado, here is my interview with DJ Romeo. Very interesting interview, to say the least. Yeah, so let's welcome him in. So here we are with Matthew Romeo, DJ Romeo. How's it going, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. Surviving one day at a time. This COVID thing is crazy, eh?
It's crazy times, man. But, you know, you got to keep being better than the last day. So you got to keep your head up and keep going, you know?
Yeah, I was watching your videos when you're, like, on Tron, like, in the on the streets. And you're like, this is – it's dead here. Like, the one on Young and Dundas, no one is there. The one on Spadina and King is, like, no one's there. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's very unreal to see. But, you know, it's just got to – you know, it's a reminder. You know, you got to count your blessings, man. Another day, another opportunity, even when things seem to be going downhill.
Right. Well, I guess for people who don't know, even though I said your name already, who are you and what do you do?
I'm Matthew Romeo, a.k.a. DJ Romeo, a.k.a. Baby Adams, a main source, a.k.a. Mr. MyDoughT.com. And I do me, baby.
Yeah. We'll touch on your second business, MyDoughT. How long have you been in Toronto for?
That's a good question, man. The other day I was talking to someone, and I think maybe I thought it was 10 years, but it might actually be like around 12.
Right. And what keeps you in Toronto?
What keeps me in Toronto? It's a good question. I don't know. The pandemic's pushing me away.
Yeah. I mean, no. I feel like it's pushing a lot of people away, but. Yeah, I could see that.
I think just, you know, it's opportunity. And, you know, every time when you know, kind of wake up and see the CN Tower, you know, everything's possible. You know?
Right. Because yeah.
CN Tower was someone's idea, right? So if they could do that, I can do whatever I want.
It's true. And I mean, I find in Toronto, there's so many, before a pandemic, there's so many opportunities that, like, when I first moved to Toronto, I was like, okay, I could live here forever. As long as, you know, like, obviously you're smart with your money. That's, I think, is very important to living in Toronto. But once you kind of get the idea of how to do that, then it's pretty straightforward. And I think that's what makes Toronto a great city. But people like to look at it and be like, oh, there's too much crime. I'm like, yeah, you're looking at what you want to look at, not what you should look at.
I could see that.
Yeah. Let's talk about your day-to-day business operations. I guess not now, but maybe now, virtual, but your DJ career. So how did this come to be?
I started DJing when I was 9, so I've been doing it for a long time. I mean, I walked by a yard sale way back when, seen some turntables, brought them home, and, you know, that's kind of where everything started, man. 9, 10 years old, you know, went down to the radio station. When I was like maybe 11, 12.
Yeah.
Maybe 12, 13. DJ my first house party when I was 13, which would actually, it was the time that 50 Cent's Get Rich or Die Trying came out. I think around that time, DJ my first house party. So maybe it was about 14, 15.
Right.
You know, and people thought I was in university then. It was a university house party. And then everything just kept evolving from there, man, you know, to DJ, you know, Michael Jordan, Jordan Store, parties, traveling the world. It's been a journey.
So did you have to teach yourself? Did you teach yourself?
I chose to teach myself, yeah.
Yeah. How did you do that? Was it like through YouTube and all that, or just kind of like?
Just YouTube and that stuff wasn't really popping at that time. So, you know, just self-taught, you know, trial and error.
Yeah. If you could pick your best, most memorable event that you DJ, what would it be?
I don't know, man. Everything has different memories and feelings towards it, you know? I've been doing this for a long time, man. It's almost, what is it? It's over 20 years now.
Are you going to keep doing it?
Well, I somewhat low-key slowed down about 2 years ago to start building on my business, my OT.
Okay.
And, you know, if you look at the times now, it's kind of a good thing I follow my gut.
It's true. Yeah.
There's no DJ happening anywhere other than Twitch.
Yeah. And I mean, like you said, since COVID, a lot has changed. How different has this been for you in terms of just like, I mean, it's been different for everyone, but has it been like very like eye-opening or surreal for you?
I mean, it is kind of crazy to see my clients one by one kind of going out of business, but I was already kind of to myself, you know, like 2 years ago when I decided to focus on what I was focusing on. So to me, it just felt like, hey, I'm already inside working. So
yeah. Yeah, that's true. And we do see a lot of businesses going down. It's sad to see. I mean, one of my favorite clubs, I don't know if you've ever DJed. I'm sure you've DJed there before, but one of my favorite clubs that I mean, this was before COVID, but it was Brassai. I loved Brassai. I loved Le Brunch. And I, like, you know, obviously that went down before COVID, but it's like there's so many places now that's just like going down because of COVID. And it's crazy to see what the nightlife will look like after. Do you think this will change nightlife in Toronto going forward once things open up?
I think it'll change it across the globe. It's already changed. So who knows if there's going to be a nightlife anytime soon.
Can you see like a lot more clubs basically not opening up once this is done? Like basically a brand new slate?
I think they're already done.
Right.
So
yeah,
restaurants, true. Everything's going down. So only time will tell.
Speaking of like change though, how much of the nightlife has changed since you started from when you first used the mixer to I guess before COVID?
Yeah, it evolves all the time, man. There's a lot of from a DJ standpoint, I'd say, you know, I remember when people used to bring vinyl to the club to DJ, to then, you know, CDs and then Serato, and it's the evolution of, you know, the DJ side of things. But the nightlife itself, you know, I believe it's always evolving, man. You got different characters, different sets of people.
Yeah.
You make some great connections and some, you know, lifelong friends as well. But, you know, what is life if things are not evolving?
It's true. Like before COVID, there was like maybe a handful of clubs that were successful. But back in the day, back in 2005, 2006, there were probably way more clubs that were you could choose from in terms of like what ones were successful.
I don't know, man. I feel like that's, you know, to whoever believes success or what success is,
right.
You know, like I feel like it's just, at least this is my point of view, you know, like I feel like there's the same amount, like things open and they close, things open, things close, you know, so I never felt like there was a shortage of clubs or too many.
Yeah. So did you find that, like, even when you were starting to go to the clubs, did you find that you were going to all sorts of different clubs versus probably in the last 2 years? Like you're wanted in all these other multiple clubs.
I wasn't legally able to be in clubs back then, even though I was there DJing as like a guest. But, you know, over time, as, you know, the evolution of DJing and being around and connecting with people, I would say, yeah, more people have asked for me to, you know, come perform at events in different clubs and that.
So we're going to touch on the other aspects of your life, but, you know, because I like to give the guests the power of choosing the music for the show. What song would you like me to play?
You could play some Main Source, Fake in the Funk.
Main Source. And what about the song do you like? What draws you to this song?
Well, you know, I'm a member of the group. Main Source is a legendary hip-hop group. You know, they are the group that, you know, started Nas's career and a bunch of other people in the hip-hop scene. You know, I'm Baby Adams of the group. And Fake in the Funk was a big hit record, you know, just talking about people faking the funk, you know, like, people faking or acting like something that they are, which they're not, you know?
Now, I've never been one to knock the next man for getting his, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And I do realize that hip-hop is now a form of showbiz.
Uh-huh.
But this has always been something with which you have to be true. So in the year of 1992, now this is how we do. At the age of 19, heard the scene. A lot of MCs that do not come clean. Frontin' on dealing hard times and rhymes. You see them in the streets and you see no signs of the hell. And they get on stage and tell some old cornball war story. Ring the bell.
Burn.
You're faking the funk. Talking that extra hard junk, you're probably a punk. And I'ma let you know that this way you just don't cut with the artificial flow.
Neat dicks try to break backs and necks. When fakers try to front, they'll get smoked like blunts. My rhymes penetrate like skunk. And you're worried up? I think they're faking the funk.
You're faking the funk.
Yo,
you're faking the funk. I sold out award.
Word.
And everywhere has streets. That's not trying to hear the whack rhymes over the same stink beats. Mm. Cause times are real and I can't feel put down on the real of real.
Now I'ma let you know, with those freestyle of raps, it's time to go. I eject, rejects that step. I'm a vet ready to snap your neck. I shine and rise at the same time. The mastermind of this book called the rhyme. Now it's time to dump chumps that front of
your professor. What's up? What's up? You're faking the funk.
Right, so that was the main source, and we're back with DJ Romeo. Would you say nowadays, because I see some young DJs now, they don't really use vinyls. Would you say that's a dying out a talent?
I mean, it's digital now, so you can still use vinyl. It's just a digital vinyl with the new technology of Serato, you know?
But...
it's more of keeping the art form versus, you know, carrying records itself. You don't right. necessarily need to carry records anymore, but people still do. I mean, I rock with like vinyl, Serato yeah. vinyl, you know?
Yeah.
So would you keep it true to the art form.
Would you ever go digital?
Well, that's what I do. I use, so Serato is digital. That's right. what that is.
But I mean, would you ever not use the vinyl?
But that's what Serato is. Serato is digital, so you could choose to use the vinyl or not.
Why do you use the vinyl?
Yeah,
just because that's how you were. That's how you learned.
Well, you know, I also respect the art form,
and that's kind of what I was getting at. You know, I find that a lot of newer DJs they just go to the digital and they don't really understand that once you put vinyls down, they probably won't know what to do with them. Do you find that that is a common thing now? Like them not learning?
People don't care, you know?
Yeah.
There's people that don't care. So, you know, that's why they don't really last that long. You know, you got to know where you're coming or know where you're from, know where you're going, you know?
That's true. And whenever you first moved to Toronto with your DJ career, who was the top DJs you found that was popular in the city?
Starting from scratch and P+.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone that you kind of inspired you to do what you're doing now that was a DJ in Toronto or no?
Yeah, starting from scratch.
Yeah? No one else?
I mean, I wasn't really paying that much attention to it. You know, I was doing it more for fun.
And then how long until you started actually like having it as a career and not really having to work anywhere else?
Well, I've never actually worked anywhere else. So I've always just treated it as fun and not necessarily work.
Yeah.
So some people that may come across as work, to me, it just always was a fun thing to do.
So, because a lot of people don't have that opportunity of being able to just do this as a job. They have to have a second job. How was that? How did you pull that off?
Everyone has the opportunity. You have to make the choice.
I think it really comes down to, I guess, having clients call you up and being like, you know, come play at my club. Because someone can buy a DJ equipment and no one will call them, right? But they'll still have the drive and the opportunity and the... But they just won't have the success. So I think it really comes with who you know in terms of that.
Well, a drive and opportunity is what you need, right? To be able to meet people that can help you.
Yeah.
If you don't have the drive, they all kind of go hand in hand because you need people to get opportunity. If you don't have the drive, you're not going to work hard to see it through. So.
So you just straight went from DJing to... And then that's
I have a very unique story.
Past life, Well,
so it's not like the, I wouldn't say it's like the, that's cut and dry as, may seem, you know, it's a lot of work, a lot of hours being put in, to, you know, perfect my craft, you know.
Well,
people well.
No, I just meant, it sounds like you didn't have a second income. You just went from, you know, growing up and then DJing and,
I've got to make a lot of sacrifices.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like if someone's going to school for 4 years, they're sacrificing 4 years of their life, piece of paper. Or if someone is, you know, in a relationship with someone, you know, they're sacrificing that time and energy in hopes that it will be good. It's just like, you know, with me and music and DJing, you know, I believe that I can be great at it and turn it into something amazing. And, you know, I just sacrifice, you know, what I could to be the best at it.
True.
Make it happen.
I mean, I think that's pretty cool that this has been basically, you do it for fun, but also, you know, this has been like how you've been surviving in Toronto. And I think that's pretty cool. I feel like a lot of people wish they could be DJs, but it really comes down to knowing how to mix and all that stuff, really.
Yeah, there's a lot of things, but it's just like being a pilot or a NASCAR driver or a baseball player. If you want it bad enough, you're going to work towards learning how to do it and be the best at it. A lot of people want stuff, but they don't really, you know, work towards it or put in the work. You know?
Yeah, true. Have you, like, so far as you've been DJing, do you still get that, like, hunger that you got when you first picked it up? Or are you basically just becomes, like, the same kind of feeling?
Well, as you get older, you know, you want different things and you learn more. So,
yeah,
you know, it's continuously evolving, you know?
Yeah.
That's the best way I could put it. You know, you got to have the passion, man. The passion is going to keep driving you through the good times and the bad times.
I feel like as a DJ, if I was a DJ, after a while doing clubs would be kind of okay.
The thing is, I'm not just a DJ, and, you know, sorry to cut you there, but I'm not just a DJ, and I've never actually done a residency. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm a little bit unique compared to some other DJs. I've never actually done every Friday night you could see me here, or every Thursday. I'm more like a special event.
That's fair, but I just was getting on that. I feel like if if I was a DJ, I wouldn't even want a residency. That'd be like kind of like all right, because it's like the same thing all the time. But I feel like what would make it a great career is going to doing those events that you do, like the Michael Jordans and the NBAs and the you know, like all those cool events. I'm sure that was probably, you know, what would keep someone doing what they want to do, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
you know, I just never done a residency because I just always told myself, you know, I want to share, you know, my passion with a lot of people. Like,
yeah,
stay in one place all the time, you know, I can only share with so many people.
Yeah, and I feel like when you do residency, I feel like, well, I guess if you do anything a lot, then you kind of get bored of it. So, I mean, I feel like if it was me anyway, doing a residency, I feel like would be fun at first, but, you know, eventually it would get boring. So
it depends what your motive is. If your motive is to get girls and, you know, do that type of thing, then residency could be fun.
Yeah.
Or if your motive is to build a foundation for your family, then a residency, you know, is a secured kind of way of having a steady income.
Yeah.
You know, like I think it all really kind of comes down to, you know, what your goal is, where your goals are, where you want to go with it.
It's a good point. So I guess when you're not throwing cool parties and, you know, you also have a second business, which we touched on at the start of it, Mug Dope Tea. Explain what you do and how that started.
Well, it started as, you know, I have a few businesses. My Dope Tea started about 2.5 years ago when I was doing some influencer work with YouTube. And I decided to, you know, create my own merch because I got fed up with dealing with other merch companies outside of the country, delays and problems. So I just figured I'd do my own thing. And that's how My Dope Tea came to life. So think of My Dope Tea as a Shopify and like Printful combined, but based in Canada.
Yeah, I know Shopify and all those are like booming. So that's a cool idea. And like how has that evolved as like since you started, how have you like made it different from those ones?
Well, we're a turnkey solution. So those two names I just mentioned are standalone companies.
Yeah.
And they integrate with one another. We are a turnkey solution. So someone could have a subscription with us and we're producing and shipping it out all from one place. So that's a turnkey solution.
That's pretty sick. And how tough has it been during COVID to maintain both your businesses?
Well, like I said, 2 years ago, I slowed down on the DJing to build up My Dope Tea. So
yeah.
I was already doing that before COVID. And, you know, anything that's worth something, you know, I think it's going to have a challenge.
Right.
So, you know, I'd say learning curves are a common challenge people may have and want to give up to. But when I run into those excite me to want to keep learning more.
Yeah.
Keep evolving. So true. I wouldn't necessarily call them challenges.
Yeah.
Just call them, you know, it's part of what it is.
But in terms of like, have you seen your business from My Dope Tea drop because of like COVID? People are like less. Yeah.
You know, people aren't doing events or anything like that. So yeah, my business has definitely dropped a lot.
Yeah.
But you know, as a creative entrepreneur, you got to keep pivoting and keep evolving. You know, we just finished creating a mobile app. That's on the Google and Apple Play stores. It's My Dope Tea app. So MYDOPETEE, or just type in MDT and you'll see your mobile app. So, you know, just continuing to pivot, you know, from where our clients would shop in bulk, now pivoted more to individuals that want to do like one-offs. So
that's
gotta keep evolving, man.
Yeah. Besides this, do you hope to expand on your business in like other areas?
Of course. I just want to help our clients be successful, you know?
Yeah.
My motive with the business is to help people like myself, you know, creative entrepreneurs that are looking to monetize their brands and businesses online with custom apparel.
This is a random one, but I remember you mentioning something like this, that on Christmas, you like to give back to the poor with gift cards or like food. How did that start?
Well, I wouldn't say poor. I'd say less fortunate.
Yes.
And I mean, how did that start? I think I was talking to, oh yeah, that's Rose. It was a few years back with Ellie and Patrick from my team at the time. We were thinking of ways how we could help those less fortunate and also make some content to hopefully inspire others to do the same.
Yeah.
And then every year since, other than this year, I would donate up to or at least $1,000 in gift cards to people less fortunate. But this year is definitely different. Actually, right. Thinking the other day, I might go and donate like 100 blankets or something to people that live in tents.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I saw the other day someone put on Reddit that there's like 3 or 4 fridges around Toronto. I don't know how it works, but they can go and get free food from these fridges. I don't know if it's like someone's house, but I think that's pretty cool that they have the availability like that, because, you know, I'm sure with now with COVID, there's more people losing their jobs and houses and all that. It's crazy. So that's cool that you do that. I think more people should do that, but more people often don't do that. So it's a small things really that help.
Just gotta lead by example.
So second song of the night, what would you like it to be?
You could play Main Source, Nas, Live at the Barbecue.
Going back to that Main Source.
Slugs for my brain just like a rifle. Stampede the stage, I leave the microphone split. Play Mr. Tuffy while I'm on some pretty tone shit. Verbal assassin, my architect pleases. When I was 12, I went to hell for snuffing Jesus. Nasty Nas is a rebel to America. Police murderer, I'm causing hysteria. My troops roll up with a strange force. I was trapped in a cage and lit out by the Main Source. Swimming in women like a lifeguard. Put on a bulletproof nigga, I strike hard. Kidnapped the president's wife without a plan. And hanging niggas like the Ku Klux Klan. I melt mics till the sound waves over. Before stepping to me, I'd rather step to Jehovah. Slamming MCs on cement. Cause verbally, I'm iller than an AIDS patient. I move swift and uplift your mind. Shoot the gift when I rip and rhyme. Rapping sniper, speaking real words. My thoughts react like Steven Spielberg's. Poetry attacks, paragraphs punch hard. My brain is insane, I'm out to lunch guard. Science is dropped, my raps are toxic. My voice box locks and excels like a rocket.
Me when I grip the mic, I show no mercy. I got heart, I rip the party apart from the scenes and hem them up like bell-bottom jeans. But you get done, you get blues like 501. Brothers alive, but I bet you I'm live, son. So let me get upon the scene and redeem the dream of a team and knock them out like Mitch Green. Smoke some top, we float at a high speed. Rap on, off break, starting like North Lakes. Cause I'm living larger than the founders of 50 and Asiatic brothers that many rappers envy. So round up your crew and entourage and let the guard merciful just take charge. Some of them said that the ox should quit, but I don't sweat it, cause I'm too big for that small shit. Like pigs when it comes to a showdown, huff and puff, but the ox won't get blown down, cause I come strong, I can come at all and I'll be ready. That's what separates me from the petty. MCs gas themselves by drinking too much Getty and get torn the fuck up like confetti. I'm rich and thick and lyricistic and Jemima. It doesn't take Keenan, Ivy Wayne, so know that I'ma get your sucker if you bite like a piranha. So say them preschool rhymes for the kids of Wonderama. Point blank, period, with no comma. Rhymes so dangerous, call for the homicide. Cause I knock them dead even when I'm at my worst. The only future that lies ahead of them is the lights from the hearse. Got game like a crackhead, but don't be misled. I keep rappers on lock like a dread. Knocks in the head from the words that I've said. Should get a shovel and dig your grave, cause the shit you talk is dead. I grab up girls like Jax, add them on like tax, and I'm over like hot tracks. As far as brothers are concerned, I pressure cooker from start to finish, I diminish like a Cuisinart. Secondly, I'm sick of critics who's necking me.
Ooh, he got an afro.
Yo, but I got dough. Why's my name the Lost Professor?
cause I milked your cow. In other words, I hit your heifer. Don't talk about how you could break Rambo. That's just a bunch of man but your handful. Propaganda, save it for Savannah, Joe and Amanda, Zach and Alexandra. Don't let the folks around your way puff your head, cause you'll be the owner of a hospital bed. I'll kick fire out your ass so fast, you'll be as crispy as my man Bill Black.
You're listening to I Am Everything on CKMS 102.7 FM.
And we're back. Before we get back to DJ Romeo, I just want to tell you about a cool little product. If you don't already know about it, I know I kind of mentioned it at the start. Crummy Cookie Dough Company. So it's raw cookie dough that you don't even have to bake. You can just eat it raw. They have a lot of cool flavors there. Their vibe, their storefront vibe is a 90s, 60s vintage mashup with 90s hip-hop, which I think is pretty cool. And one day I'm going to have these two women on the show. They're killing it, you know. They started when the pandemic started and they're, you know, got thrown into the fire early and they're coming out swinging. So I think you should check them out. They're on Facebook at the Crummy Cookie Dough Co. That's Crummy, spelled C-R-U-M-B-Y, so Crumby. It's hard to pronounce the B, you understand? You can get them through Uber Eats, Skip the Dishes, DoorDash, through their website. They have, I think, 10 or 12 flavors, some vegan ones. I think it's pretty cool. Very tasty stuff. So, I appreciate them sponsoring the show and helping me out in return. I hope you help them out. If I was very successful eventually one day, I would buy their all their flavors weekly. So I don't know, if you have money, go help them out. All right, back to the interview.
All right, so that was another main source, and we're back. We're going to talk about some Toronto things and then a couple of interesting questions. We're going to do a speed round. What are some misconceptions people get wrong about Toronto, like people that don't live there?
You're going to have to ask that question a different way, because well, I don't know what people conceive Toronto to be.
Well, before you moved to Toronto, was there things that you thought of Toronto that you were wrong about? Like maybe like, oh, there's a lot of crime there, or I don't know, there's not a lot of income or not a lot of jobs there. Like, was there any thoughts like that before you moved there?
I thought people would be more nicer and supportive. I say it's definitely, it's not for the weak of heart.
It's very dog-eat-dog kind of mentality.
Maybe screw face, you know?
I found my time in Toronto, besides like, you know, the opportunities, but there wasn't quite the opportunity. And even like going as far as being like, you know, I'm here if you need me. Like, I'm willing to give you 110%. Like, you don't even have to worry about paying me. Like, even doing things like that still didn't really matter much. I thought, I don't know. That was one thing that I was wrong.
Talkers. There's a lot of people that, you know, are faking the funk, like the song Main Source. So it's like, you know, it's an interesting space, man. I feel like if you can make it in Toronto, you can make it anywhere in the world.
Yeah. And I do very much agree with that. Like, I feel like even though I didn't get the careers I wanted, and maybe it just comes down to my education, I don't know. But I think if you can survive in Toronto in terms of even just working at a bar and paying rent, I think that's very true that you could survive it anywhere. So I do agree with that. And have you found that since moving to Toronto, much has changed?
Yeah, of course. It's always like, evolving, man. Every year it's something different.
Do you find like, the people changed or like how like business operates?
I say, you know, every year I see I feel like the mentality of people is evolving. People are more starting to work together. Like when I first moved there, people weren't, but these are different generations, right? The younger generation, I believe, understands collaborating on that, where the older cats, it's more for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like now, especially with what's going on, I feel like hopefully there's an emphasis on working together, because that's probably, because all these businesses that are closing down, you know, they're in the same boat now. So when things start up, hopefully they realize like they were at the same part of their life. And hopefully this changes, you know, how Toronto operates like that.
God willing. See what happens. I think the pandemic, as messed up as it is, it's good because it helps in a sense of everyone else faking it. They're going to get wiped out, and everyone's actually hustling. They're going to, kind of stand the test of time, hopefully.
If you could change anything about Toronto, what would it be?
Nothing. Maybe nothing. The cost of living.
Yeah, I agree there.
That's all part of the game.
Yeah. I think like it's a bitter circle. It's just you have these condos that are asking a lot of money, so then people work, and then these businesses close down because COVID restrictions, and then they up the condo prices because no one's paying. So it's a bitter circle, really. It really comes down to the city planning and the individuals who run the city. Not saying names, but they could have done a better job. But again, I don't know, who's to say, really. Everyone's pointing a finger. So here's some speed round questions. Fun facts about you. A fun fact about you.
I'm a nice guy.
Nice guy. Nice. And I like that answer. Where will you be the next 10 years?
Successful.
Favorite current song?
Current song. I don't know, man. I like all types of music. Anything that has a good beat, a nice flow.
What is your guilty pleasure?
Dimitri's.
Who would play you in a movie if you could have an actor?
Myself.
Yourself? Play you in a movie? Okay.
Why not?
Just changing the rules here. No, I like that answer, actually. That's good. Favorite underrated spot? Whether it's like a park or a restaurant or a cafe or
my house.
Your house? Where do you live, by the way? I know you live in Toronto, but do you live like in the city?
It's the FBI?
Yeah. I'm going to come and bring you cake.
I'm by the CN Tower.
Nice.
Downtown.
Is it true that, I don't know if you have TV, but is it true if you live near the CN Tower, you get free cable because it acts as like a receiver?
I don't know. It's interesting because I've noticed cable on my TV, but I don't have it.
Yeah. I think that's...
I don't know how that works.
I mean, I feel like if they didn't put an antenna on top of the CN Tower, they're probably... I don't know. I feel like that's what I would do. Why not? It's the largest building in Toronto. I feel like it harnesses a lot of energy, and then you can give free cable to everybody. But that's probably... last question. What's the key to happiness?
Loving yourself.
All right. So before we end the...
Then again, I mean, everyone's going to have a different key. So that's what I believe. Has worked for me.
I feel like if you love yourself, I mean, after that, it's pretty easy to love life and get around life, really. Because if you love yourself, you believe in yourself. No one can tell you differently. So I think that's a pretty good key to have in your life.
You said, what's the key?
Yeah.
Right? So if you said, what's my key, then that would be my answer. But the key, I don't know. Everyone's going to have a different perspective, you know?
It really comes back to the upbringing and how one has survived.
There's that, but it's also like what you want to happen with your life. If you want to have a miserable life, then cool, be miserable. If you want to have a life that's going to continue to keep you happy and inspired, why not? Why not believe that in yourself? If you want to love others and love yourself, you got to start with loving yourself, man.
Right. And we'll end on that. However, last song, what would you like me to play?
Bob Marley, One Love.
Ooh, full circle. Before we end the episode, is there any last caveat, last pitch, last thing you'd like people to know?
Well, I just like to say thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it. You know, my name is Matthew Romeo, a.k.a. DJ Romeo, a.k.a. Baby Adams of the legendary hip-hop group Main Source. And, you know, like, you know, to all the entrepreneurs and creative people out there and just to the whole human race, you know, do your best to not fight with one another. Stay positive, stay inspired, and keep moving forward in your life. And you know, treat people well. And if you need custom apparel, feel free to check out mydont.com. Download our mobile app, too.
Bob Marley, One Love. And I want to thank DJ Romeo for the interview. Very enlightening. And it was a good time. What do you guys think? Coming up next week, hopefully, fingers crossed. Have you ever heard of The Challenge? A story that just happened in the news, in the reality TV news the other day. A man named of Leo Rush, ex-WWE wrestler, left due to mental... He left The Challenge due to mental health reasons. He seems like a super nice guy. His character in wrestling seems quite the opposite, which is actually kind of ironic. So, what I'm getting at is, next week, I'm going to be talking to him. It's going to be a very... It's going to be... I'm excited for it. I'm a fan of him. I was kind of hoping he stuck around in the challenge because I want to see what he'd be like in the end, the finals or, you know, endurance challenges. Because you never know. You see these wrestlers, they do the big moves, they do the flips. You know, sometimes, like, they work every single day of the year. So it's always curious to see how they will do in these kind of atmospheres. So I think that's cool. It's going to be a long episode. Two-parters, perhaps. I'm very excited for it. So, next week, Leo Rush will be here on my radio show. If you don't know Leo Rush, I'm giving you a week. Do your research. Go on YouTube. Look at his wrestling matches. He's high-flying. He's quick. Very quick. He was in the main leagues, WWE, for a couple of years. He left. He's doing his independent thing. probably going to be signed very soon. Very talented. They call him the man of the hour, Moth. So check that out next week. That's going to be a good show. I want to thank DJ Romeo for being my guest. And most importantly, I want to thank Crumbie Cookie Company for supporting me every week. Because I know how hard it must be to be business. And, you know, just reach out to them. If you like cookies, I know you like cookies. If you're listening to me right now, you like cookies. For some reason, I only associate with people who like cookies. Just it happens naturally, not like I choose it. A couple of my guests, Sergio loved cookies. I didn't know that. You know, a couple of my guests loved cookies. All of them, actually. The last three loved cookies. How do you not love cookies? That's my question. So, go support them. Crumbie Cookie Company. Raw cookie dough. Eat them raw. Cook them up. Just have fun with that, all right? So, thank you guys. Next week, remember to be here, okay? Be here for my episode with Leo Rush. Might be a two-parter. We'll see, all right? Do research about him. It's going to be a good time. Without further ado, I'm Shine A-Town. This is I'm Everything. And I'll see you next week. Here's some Touche Amour featuring Manchester Orchestra, Limelight. We sway!